For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, August the 31st, 2002. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null of Salina, Kansas is the teacher of the afternoon.
Jesus, praise your name, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Praise. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive your word, Lord God, that the engrafted word might go down into our hearts, Lord, and change us into your image. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Yesterday, when my brother was prophesying, God gave me, I started writing it down, and Brother Jack gave a long, anointed prophecy, and first he said that he's gracious and merciful, and God spoke to me and said, I want you to tell them what graceful and merciful means. He also gave me this. I frequently ask people, why did Jesus have to die? Why couldn't God just forgive us? Why couldn't he just say, you're forgiven of your sin? And go on. Why did the Son of God have to be manifested in the flesh, come to this world, live a life that was perfect without sin, and then die, suffer, and die on the cross for our sin? Pay the penalty for our sin. And the answer to that, of course, is that God is a righteous God. Satan rebelled, and Satan has been judged, and he has been condemned to the lake of fire, which was prepared for him and his angels, as Jesus says in Matthew. But can't you hear Satan standing before God? You know, he still has access to God. He still changes himself into an angel of light and appears before God. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan can change himself into an angel of light. And it says in Revelation 12 that he stands before God day and night accusing us. And what's he accusing of us? He's saying, I know that I have been convicted of rebellion, and I have been judged, and I know that I'm going into that pit of fire over there. But this man that you love so much, that you created, that you love so much, he joined me in rebellion. And you got to put him in there too, if you put me in there. That's the reason Jesus came and died for you. Before you were created, before the foundation of the earth, God knew that you would rebel and join Satan in rebellion. But he loved you so much that Revelation 13:8 said, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the earth, it was foreordained. God never had a plan B. It was foreordained. The Son of God would be manifested and come. And it says here, for the purpose the Son of God was manifested was to destroy the work of the devil, to deliver or loose you from the power of sin and death. For through the sin of Adam, sin and death entered into the world and you. Jesus came to loose you from the power of sin and death. He came. It's an interesting that it says in 1 John, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. That word that is translated destroy is also translated loose, and bind and loose. In Matthew it says, whatever you bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's the same word. It says Jesus came to loose you from the power of the devil. Destroy the devil's power over you, or to loose you from it if you believe. For as many as received him and believed or had faith on his name, he gave the power or authority to become sons of God. To become sons of God. How do you become a son of God? By following the Spirit of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they will become. They are sons of God. And so he gave you the power to become a son of God by being led by his Spirit. You won't become a son of God being led by the flesh. And what is flesh? Remember, your old man was, your old sinful nature, corrupt nature inherited from Adam, was crucified with Jesus Christ. It's dead. It's dead. That's what the Bible says. It's dead. It was crucified. Jesus is the only thing that ever came back to life. The old man didn't come back to life. Flesh is when you yield to the power of sin that dwells in your mortal body. Flesh is that portion of the soul, the top of the soul that yields, the heart that yields to the power of sin. The circumcision of the heart is by the Spirit cutting away of the flesh of the heart. For he who is a Jew is not one outwardly of the circumcision, an outward, but one of the inward circumcision, which is a circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit. Colossians says it's a circumcision of Christ. And so that fleshly yielding is cut away when you follow the Spirit. But if you follow the law of sin and death, flesh reforms, and you get the curse. You follow the law of God, you get the blessings. You follow the law of sin and death, which dwells in your mortal body. Paul says, don't let sin reign or rule in your mortal body. Now today, we're going to continue our study on how you become renewed or metamorphosized or transformed into the image of him who created you. Praise God. You remember yesterday, we looked at a number of renewal verses, and I remind you, let's look at 1 Romans 12:1. And we will go back over this because recapitulation is an important part of learning. Those of you who studied this, your notes yesterday, I apologize to you. I've gone back and studied this morning over it, but those of you who haven't, we will recapitulate the notes. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, we said under the old covenant, a live animal was bought in. The sin was confessed over the innocent animal. The innocent animal was then slain. And depending on the sacrifice, either part or all of the animal was burned. But generally his kidneys and the fat thereof, which represented the innermost being, were burned on the altar. God wants you as a living sacrifice. He doesn't require you to die anymore. But we said sometimes the fire on the altar gets a little hot. And a lot of folks tend to jump off when it gets hot. But God, we said that God will not carry you, will not lead you to a place where his grace will not sustain you. You know, about 10 years ago, longer than that now, 14 years ago, a Christian school came into our church. And he'd been over at one of the other churches and he'd been struggling. And they were having bake sales in the summertime to pay the teachers' salaries for last year. And they were, kids were selling candy on the street, and they were selling pictures, and they were doing all sorts of things to raise money to pay the teachers. And those people, and the people of this church finally decided that since our church had most of the kids in the school, that our church ought to have the pleasure of having the school, this pleasure of raising the money to pay the teachers. And so it was coming over, and the person who was president of the school board, and the person who was vice president, the person who was treasurer, there was a problem within the church, and the man who was going to be president of the school board was the chief elder, and there was a problem with his wife, and he and his wife and about five families left the church. And with them, the three officers. There were no officers on the school board. I told them that I wanted to be on the school board as an intercessor, that my total responsibility would be to pray for the school. That's about all I was sure I wanted to do was pray. I didn't think I really wanted any more responsibility than that. And they asked me, the elders and the pastor came and asked me if I'd be president of the school board. And I told them I would have to give me a week to pray about it, because I just could not make a decision like that. I was uncomfortable with it. And so I fasted and I prayed. And at the end of the fifth day, God spoke to me sovereignly. And he said, "It's my school. It runs by my grace. If you're willing to take the school and lean on me solely to supply, I will meet the need. I'll bring the teachers in. I'll bring the pupils in. I'll bring the money in. Remember that I'm never late, seldom early." He said that. So I went to the pastor and I said, there are some conditions that I set on my being president. Number one, this is God's school, and we will lean entirely on his grace to raise the money. We will not have public auctions. We will not put the kids on the street to sell candy bars. It is not their neighbor's responsibility to pay their tuition. It's not your neighbor's responsibility to pay your child's school tuition. Now, I have a firm policy on children who come to my door selling things for schools. I buy from every one of them. Any child who will knock on my door and say, "Will you buy a candy bar?" I say, "Yes. What have you got to sell, honey?" I will never refuse one. I wouldn't hurt one of those children for anything, because I love children. And, you know, money is not a problem. It has not been a problem for me for some years. I can't depend on whether I have the money or not to decide whether it's God's will. Some people use that as a criteria. I can't do that. God has... I can't decide that way, because I do have the money. My problem is to decide what to do with the money. Now, if you don't think that's a problem, you just get the responsibility of it and have to lay before God and say, "God, what do I do with it? Which is the way you want it to go? Not my flesh, not these seductive people who come in with these guilt, with all these offers that are not to the glory of God." And you got to look them in the face and say, "No, I'll support that. I'm sorry." Okay. Good friends of mine, business acquaintances of mine, want me to support an organization that supports Planned Parenthood. I said, "No way in God's world I'm going to give money to Planned Parenthood for abortions. I'm just not going to do that." "Well, you can specify your money to go to Planned Parenthood." "Well, I've been on the board of that organization. I understand how that works." That doesn't alter what you give, what you give to who. And so I write a check to charities individually. I do not contribute to them. And I have to look my friends in the face, people that I associate with in business every day, and say, "I do not support that." And they ask me why, I tell them. But that's beside the point. And so we ran, the school ran and grew and multiplied, and God's grace was upon it. And it expanded from 40 students to 350. So we were at the point where we needed more space and more space and more space. I won't go into all the trials. I mean, God was always faithful. The money was always there. We never had to go out and beg and hold auctions and beg. And we never, I mean, God was so gracious. And he provided, so, you know, I'll give you an instance. One year we got down to the last paycheck comes in July. And we lacked $2,538.17, I think. $2,578.13, something like that. I can't remember now. It's been a few years back. And that's how much we lacked, you know. And the checks were going out the next day. And I was not going to not pay the teachers their paycheck. You know, workmen do their wages. And that night, I just held it up to God. I took the printout from the, my bookkeeper. She called me and said, what are we going to do? She wants you to make me a printout of the bank balance and the obligations. And I went into my prayer room and I spread it out on the floor. I said, here it is, God. Go to school. There's the balance right there, Lord. It's what we need right over here. You said you're going to supply. You're faithful. Your word is true. It's reliable, faithful, honest, trustworthy. I can depend on it. Where's the money? I'm going to bed tonight, Lord, and I'm not going to worry about it because I know tomorrow morning that money's going to be here. And I went to bed that night. I'd really thought earlier in the week that I thought I might have to take it out of my retirement fund, you know. And I called my banker to find out he's out of town. I'm going to be out of town 2 weeks. I couldn't get it out of my retirement fund. And just, you know, I said, oh, Lord, there it is. Where the money? Next morning at 8:30, the pastor called me. And he don't normally get to his office that early. I was rather shocked. He said, Doc, I'm down here in the office. I said, you are? He said, yeah. I got a couple down here, a young couple, just been in church a couple months. Yeah, they're crying. I said, yeah. They said they're here to give me $2,578.13 because Jesus Christ woke them up at 3 o'clock this morning and told them to come down here and give me a check for the shortage in the school. Is there a shortage in the school? I said, not anymore, there's not. God has supplied. You thank those fine people. They don't want anybody to know who they are. I said, that's wonderful. I said, you call Betty Gray, who was the second, who was the bookkeeper. She'll come get the check. And ain't no shortage in the school anymore. Thank you very much. Amen. Now, gosh, what God did. He woke up a couple of men in our church less than 2 months, had no children, woke them up at 2 o'clock in the morning and gave them the exact figure and said, get down there. They called the pastor at 7 o'clock, crying, said, we got to see you. We got to write this check. We can't do anything until we get that check written and hand it to you. Because that's what we were told. We can't eat breakfast. We can't do anything until we hand you the check. I'm surprised we can go by his house. That's how faithful God is. That's how much you can trust his word.
Sounds like the campground.
Now, school became... They decided they wanted a high school. I told them they'd have to expand. They'd have to build more buildings. They agreed to a building program. And I'm no longer president of the school. And the school, for all practical purposes, does not exist anymore. And I told them that we'd require $50,000 of tithe money to build a high school. They agreed to it. I said, it won't be this year because it takes a while to build it up. We're just going to increase until we get... So 4 years, 3 years, 4 years later, when we now have a graduating class, now we need that. 2 years, we're going to need the rooms. Where are the rooms? We need to start now. If we don't, we won't have them built. We won't have room. We're bursting at the seams. You promised us. Well, we have fasted and prayed, and God has shown us that we're not to build another room until we're out of debt. I said, You got to start. God will give you the money when you start. I said money in the bank ain't faith. So we got to have the money in the bank before we start building. Money in the bank ain't faith, brother. And so I said, you know, we got the $40,000. So God increased the money, you know. They did real well. I said, where's the $40,000? We said, in the school year, we needed the $40,000 to pay the teachers the last 2 months. What $40,000? $40,000, you know. You got it in a savings account. I mean, you know, God has given it to you. Well, that's our money. We're not going to spend that on the school. No, sir. We've got plans for that money. That's our money. God's money. Needless to say, they got out and begged and beat the drum, and people brought the money in, and they dissolved the school board and decided they're going to run the school a different way. And high school died the next year. They said they were making money off, they were going to make money off of that elementary school and pay off the note on the building. Elementary school's gone. They got less than maybe 40 kids now. I mean, it's just dying. And they don't understand why it died. They asked me if I'd reform the school board and take it over again. And my answer was Ichabod. You know what Ichabod is? It means the spirit has departed from the school. I don't know. Maybe God will revive that work. I don't know. But I just weep when I see it. I just weep. Pastor is a fine man, but the council is both businessmen. They're businessmen. I can understand. I was there 30 years ago when I was the treasurer. I wouldn't spend a dime unless we had it in the bank. I didn't want to commit anything unless we had money in the bank. And they talked to me about faith, and I said, you talk about faith, I'm talking about business now. Ain't no billion do nothing if we got money in the bank. So I know where they are. I just weep over it. That's the first time I've ever been able to talk about it. I just weep. I don't know. I don't understand. I still don't understand, God. I don't understand. I walk through the halls and weep and remember the children. I remember the 80-voice choir we had of little children from third grade, or second to third grade to the sixth grade, would stand up there in little black dresses and tuxedos and bow ties. And the power of the anointing of God would roll through that place and almost knock you out of your seat. Gone. All the teachers are gone. All the anointed people God brought in are gone. That's weak. I don't even know why I brought that up. I don't even remember now. Got me talking about it. I just get so... Maybe I've said too much on tape already. Let's say this to you. The Word of God is faithful and true. But it says don't be conformed to this world. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't accept the standards and the values of the world without question. That's being conformed to it. But be transformed, metamorphosized, changed from the caterpillar to the butterfly by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what the good and perfect will of God is. Well, to renew, let's look at renew. There are a lot of scriptures in the Bible on renew. Renew means to make new, make better. And there are two key scriptures. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16. For all things, starting with verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, with the grace having been spread to many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the grace of God. Because of this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. Okay. So you're going to get renewed, not all at once, but day by day. You remember in Exodus he said, you will not capture the land. I will drive out and the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and all the Ikes. But I won't do it in a day. I'll drive them out little by little. You'll conquer. If you drove them out all one day, you wouldn't be able to handle it. So I'm going to drive them out day by day. So you're being renewed day by day. Okay, let's look at Colossians 3:10. Starting with verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You're going to be renewed in the knowledge after the image of him who created him. You're going to be renewed as you study to become the image of God. Paul said, imitate me while I imitate Christ. Let's look at, go back to 1 Corinthians, praise God, where is that, Lord? Chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. And if you turn over to chapter 11, verse 1, it will say, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Okay. So you're going to imitate Paul. Look at Paul and see what Paul says to do. But you're going to do more than that. You're going to look at the character of God and study it. And we look at Exodus 34, chapter 5, verse 5, 6, and 7. In verse 5 said, God descended there in a cloud and proclaimed the name of God. And we said the name was both the authority and the character. In Hebrew, name always indicated character or purpose. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and by no means leaving the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, Brother Jack talked about generational curses last night. And under the Old Testament, there you had to live out that curse for your sins of your fathers. Wouldn't kill you. It made you miserable. Because it says that you shall not die for the sins of your father. It just made you miserable. But under the New Covenant, Jesus Christ was made a curse, was hung on the tree. And it says, cursed is anyone who hangs on the tree. And so he became a curse for you, that you might be delivered from the curse of the law. Now, some people will tell you that's automatic. And I've had people here in this room tell me that it's automatic and get in my face. But if you read the atonement chapter in Isaiah, it says you're healing. By his stripes you are healed. In 1 Peter, it says, by his stripes you have been healed. Isaiah looks forward. Peter looks back as an accomplished fact. You're healed. But you have to claim that healing. And you've got to walk it out in faith. Therefore, you've got to claim deliverance from the curse. Now, Isaiah says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in condemnation, that's a curse. A curse is a spoken evil implication. It's a word that is spoken, and you accept it. Now, your forebears accepted the curse when they crossed the Jordan. All these curses were read to the children of Israel, and they accepted them. Said, amen, so be it. They accepted blessings, accepted the curses. They were all spoken, all read out, spoken, set in the airways. A curse is a spoken implication, a spoken evil implication. I could talk a great deal about curses. Perhaps tomorrow I will cover some on the spoken word. I really intended to talk about the spoken word entirely this week, but God did not want me to do that. So perhaps tomorrow he might let me cover. I don't know. We'll see. And so you... You look at this and you say, well, thank God that Jesus was made a curse for us that we might be delivered from the curse of the law. And so we claim it. We just say, Lord, thank you. Now, there's some curses that most curses last 4 generations. Some curses last 10 generations. Incest lasts 10 generations. And there's a very practical application in the Bible I will show you. Illegitimacy lasts 10 generations. That is 1,056 people. If you go back 10 generations, take 2 to the 10th power, it comes out 1,056, I think. I think that's right, 1,026. I think it's 56. But you just take 2 by 2 by 2 back 10 generations, and that's how many ancestors you got coming in to give you him. That's 10 generations. That's how far back it goes. Anybody got any idea what their blood kin was doing 400 years ago? I did some genealogy work, and I shocked how many premature babies born in another family. When I got the date of birth and the date of the marriage, I was just really shocked at how many premature babies were born in another family. Only the first babies. And I went back to the year 1734. That's how far back I checked the genealogy, and I was shocked at the number and how often the curse of illegitimacy reduplicated itself. You say, where does it say the curse of incest? It says it in, talks about the children of Lot not being able to come in, and the children of Lot are Ammon, of Ammonites and the Moabites. They're children of Lot. They were children of incest. But I'll give you a practical example. You all know that Judah was prophesied, the kings were prophesied to come out of Judah. Does everybody know that?
Right.
Does everybody know that? That it says in the Bible that the kings were prophesied to come out of Judah. Okay. But the first king was not from Judah. The first king was from Benjamin. Why? Well, if you go back into Genesis, you will find the story of Judah and Tamerah. And Tamerah was Judah's daughter-in-law. And it's a very interesting story to read. It's in there in Genesis if you want to find it and look it up and read it. I won't go through it. But Tamerah seduced her father-in-law and became pregnant by him and had a set of twins. Now let's look at that. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. You all recognize that as incest. All right, turn that to chapter 1. And turn to the genealogy of Jesus Christ in chapter 1. And I don't have this written in my Bible. I lost my good Bible, but here we go. Judah, verse 3, Judah begot Perez and Zimrah by Tamar. That's Genesis chapter 38. Anybody wants to read it? Okay. And that's the first generation. And then Perez begot Hingon, and Hingon got Ram, and Ram got Abinadab, and Abinadab got Joshom, Joshom got Salmon, Salmon got Boaz by Ruth. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. Then David is the 11th generation. The 10 generations had to pass before a descendant of Judah could become king because of the curse of incest on the line. It's there. You number them out. Starting number 1 with Judah and go down, you'll find that Jesse is number 10. I'd like to say that I was smart enough to figure that out. I wouldn't. I got that off of Dr. Derek Prince's tape. God didn't reveal that to me. But that's just a... You need to break the curses, which we did last night, and thank God that they've been broken. So let's go back to Exodus now. And we looked at the first word. And we said merciful and gracious. And we said merciful means full of compassion and love, to fondle with love. And gracious means to bend down and pick up. Praise you, Lord God. But if you look at Second Chronicles 39, it says, if you turn again to the Lord, your brother and your children, you will find compassion before them that led them captive. So if they come again unto this land, and the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him.
Yes.
And what? And God gave me a vision then of a little child in his terrible twos. And his daddy says to him, don't you touch that television set. He's over there by it, and he's reaching for the knob. He said, don't you touch that knob. And the little boy looks over at his dad and he says, don't touch it. And he looks back up at the knob. He looks over at the knob. What you going to do about it? And so his father, thank you, hand a little bit, said, no. Little boy went over and he cried coming out of his eyes. He said, I will discipline you, but you will mind me. You will obey. And that's your father in heaven. He will reach down. When you return to him, he is merciful and gracious. Merciful means full of kindness. Full of compassion. Compassion means to be moved in your gut. Jesus, in his healing ministry, if you go through, he said, Jesus looked upon the crowd with compassion, then he healed them. Then healing followed. That's a very strong word, meaning to be moved in your bowels, the old King James says. Now you feel it in your gut, in your heart. Your Father is full of compassion in his, and it moves in his bowels for you. And he will reach down, stoop down, and pick you up and hold you. The next word is long-suffering. Lord, long-suffering. What does that mean? Well, that's commonly translated patient. Slow to anger. And the word means, the word anger means rapid breathing on nostrils. It tends to the nostrils begin to flare and you begin to breathe rapid. Any of y'all ever have that happen to you? Oh, I did. When you get upset, you feel your breath coming in short pants and you know, and you, God is slow to have that happen to him. Slow to anger. Here in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, Nehemiah was praying, and he was rehearsing the sins. And he said, and refused to obey. Neither were they mindful of the wonders that you did in the midst, miracles they saw. But hardened their necks, became proud, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Remember? They go appoint somebody and said, you know, Moses, we don't know what happened to this fellow up here. But let us build us this calf. And we're going to take it and go back to Egypt. But thou art a Lord ready to pardon. Gracious kindness. Merciful. Slow to anger. Long suffering. And forsook them not. So what do we say about that? If you really want this to come into your life, you do more than just read it. You get on your knees and you say, oh God. And you rehearse your sin before him. You say, oh God, I have been stubborn. I've hardened my neck at times and I have not listened to you. But you, Lord, are merciful and gracious and long-suffering to me and slow to anger. Lord, touch me. Touch me so that when I'm at the office and that secretary who's always messing up and mistyping my stuff or misfiling it because she's got problems at home with an alcoholic husband and rebellious children. God, help me to be long-suffering with her, Lord. You work in me, Lord, that I can be long-suffering with that poor woman. She does get it done, Lord, but sometimes she tries my patience. Help me, Lord God. Work in me that I can be long-suffering like you, Lord God. That I can love. Love suffers long and is kind, Lord. Work you. Let that agape love of yours. I can't do it without you. You renew me, Lord, so it pours through me. Y'all feel the anointing come down when you begin to rehearse the Word of God?
Yes.
Day by day. Not just once. 4-5 times a day. Every day. Sit on your knees. Bow your head at your desk and say, God, help me. I can't do it without you, Lord. I need you. I need you to touch me that I will be long-suffering, God, God. That I won't let my breath come in. My breath won't come in short pants. My nostrils won't flare. I won't get angry and say things that I regret. Hurtful things. Or I won't say things that swell up in my pride and say, well, she deserved it. I'm glad I am not like that.
Amen.
Be like the Pharisee said, I'm glad I'm not like that tax collector over there. I pay my tithes. I fast twice a week. Yeah, I sit out on the street where everybody can see me on sackcloth and ashes. Everybody can see what a holy man I am. And I sit out there and fast. And I have them blow the trumpet when I walk down the street. And then they bring the poor out so I can take some money and throw it out to them so they can get out and say, oh, great rich Pharisee. Thank you for, oh, kind Pharisee. You going to be like that? Or are you going to say, oh, God, touch me? There are a lot of people, of religious people, that have a religious spirit do that. Sometimes they aren't quite that obvious, but if you just sit back and watch, you'll see that spirit come out. Pray it doesn't come out in you. Pray that if it comes out in you, God will show you. Okay. There are so many scriptures on God being long-suffering, slow to anger, full of compassion and merciful and kindness. They all go together. You know that? Father didn't get mad at that little child. I tell my parents, never discipline. If you feel anger, don't you discipline your child. See, if he's a 2-year-old, you take him and put him in that glorified baby jail called a playpen. Very quietly and say, I love you, and go sit someplace and count to 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 until you're quiet. And then you go pick your child up and love him and say, I love you. Whatever, discipline your child when you're angry. Because you don't have any sense when you're mad. Your mama always told you, use good common sense. And good common sense tells you when you're mad, you don't have any sense. And go sit down until you get glad. And then you can talk about it. And so you pray these scriptures. You pray that you will be gracious. And you look at this example in the scripture. You look at it. And you say, God, if you don't have a computer with a good Bible study on it, get a concordance. It's Strong's, but you can't do it in Strong's. And the other one is, what's the other concordance? Young's. Young's list by long-suffering. And all the long-suffering verses will be listed there. And then you can look them up. And so you can use Young's. And you can find all the long-suffering. I have a computer on the Bible, and they print it all out for me. And these are my work notes I'm looking at, the same notes I gave my class to work through, because it's been very difficult to prepare for this. The devil opposes you at every turn. Phone rings. Call service calls. You get tired. Your stomach burns. You get hungry. You need to go to the bathroom. I mean, they just have so many different things will distract you from this. People come to the door selling candy bars. Hallelujah. let's see, long-suffering, goodness, abounding in goodness. Goodness means kindness, or the willing to be kind, or you bow your neck. The other one is to supply provision. And here, Exodus 18, and Jethro rejoiced at all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel when he delivered them from the hand. God did good things for them. He afflicted the Egyptians, made them fearful of them, and when they left Egypt, they collected 400 years of back wages. They stripped the Egyptians of all the gold and silver in Egypt and everything else they wanted. They just said, here, take it and get out of here, for we all die. They heard them to leave. I mean, you know, they said, don't wait for the bread to rise. Put it on your shoulder. Get going, boy, before I die. And they gave them everything they wanted. That was the goodness of God. God provided for them through his goodness, for his gracious kindness. Moses asked his father-in-law in Numbers, he says, and it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that the goodness of the Lord shall do to us, the same will be to you. He's asking Jethro to go with him, and he says, if God, the goodness of God, think good thing God's going to do with us, he'll do for you. We need you to go with us and help us in the desert. Show us the way. Wasn't enough God had a cloud they were following. But he showed us the ways to survive in the desert. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9 again. Let's read that one in context. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 9. This is a high priestly prayer. And I read some of this morning in the men's deliverance class when we were talking about pride. 9:25. They took strong cities and a rich land and possessed houses full of goods, cisterns already dug, vineyards, olive groves, fruit trees in abundance. They ate and were filled and grew fat, and they delighted themselves in your great goodness. God was good. He didn't take them into a place, into a barren wilderness or virgin forest. He took them into a place that had houses already built, wells already dug, fruit trees already planted, bearing fruit, olive groves. He carried them into a bountiful land. That was his goodness to them.
Amen.
The good things of the Lord will provide for you. God's good. You know the problem this country has? We're cursed with prosperity. Every time Israel got prosperous, they turned away from God. They swelled up in their pride and said, I did this, it's mine. How many of you all ever have said, this is my salary, this is my money, this is my house? You know what the Bible says? All the gold and the silver belongs to God. Even your children belong to God. God says, they're my children. He talked about the Israelites, how they sacrificed his children on the altar to Shemutz and sacrificed his kids, his children, to demons. Uh-huh. He didn't say, your children, my children, my children. Israelites were acutely aware that they had to buy the child back from God. They realized that a child was just on loan to them because the child belonged to God. We don't seem to understand that anymore. That all the gold and the silver belongs to God. What the Bible says. And God makes provision for you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Long-suffering, abundance in goodness and kindness. Gracious kindness. Truth. Yeah, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant goodness, and truth. Truth. What does truth mean? It means stability, certainty, truth, trustworthy, faithfulness. It comes from the word to mean be built up, to support, to be fruitful. You know that the philosophers of this world can't even agree on what truth is. They like President Clinton. They said it depends on what your definition of is. And it depends on what your definition of truth is. And you get a bunch of Greek philosophers around, and you get the Plato and the Aristotle philosophers, and they'll start to talking, and they don't agree. Pilate said, Jesus said, I have come in truth. Pilate looked at him and says, what's truth? That was 2,000 years ago, and today they still will argue, debate over what truth is. Now, you know what truth is? Truth is Jesus Christ. Truth is the Word of God.
Right.
Jesus said, grace and truth, said the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth.
Right.
No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay. Truth. Praise. Let's look at Genesis 32:10. Here, Jacob is fled Laban, is coming home with great tribe, with his family, all of his children, his wives, his servants, and his great herds. And he sent words to Esau and said, I'm coming. And the messengers came back and said, Esau is coming to meet you, and he's bringing 400 men with him. And poor old Jacob said, he remembers that Esau wanted to kill him. Now he's coming with an army. And so what does he say? Verse 6, 32:6. The messengers returned Jacob saying, We came to your brother Esau, and he's also coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him into flocks and herds and camels and two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to one company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will be safe. And then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, God of the Lord who said to me, return to your country with your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy at least of all your mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. I have crossed over the Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come to attack me and the mother with the children. He says, I am not the least worthy of all your mercies and truth. The truth is the promises. And he says, the promises were that if you come back, I'll treat you well, and your seed shall become as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And he's looking at this army, and Jacob is. And so Jacob sends him across the land, and he stays. But he recalls the word of God, the promises that God has made him. And he says, they're true, they're reliable, they're trustworthy, like me. I recalled that God had said that he would provide. Now, I'll have to say that, I would love to say that I never doubted for a minute, but there was a time that I called to see if my bank was going to be in town because I wasn't going to let the teachers be unpaid. And the banker was out of town. God, don't tell me he don't have a sense of humor. But then I laid it out before him. I laid it all out. I did like like Hezekiah did. He took it and laid the letter out before God. Said, God, look at what this heathen man is saying here. Now, you were. Look what he said. Look how he defiles you and blasphemes you. I just said, Lord, here it is. And I recall to him the truth, what he had promised. And I said, your word is true, reliable. God gave me faith, and it settled down into my spirit. And I went home and went to bed. And the next morning, it was there. I could give you some other examples out of my personal life, but I won't this time. We really hadn't gotten very far in this again. But truth, and you say, Lord, touch me. Look at this, Lord. There's your truth. Your truth. You're reliable. You're true. trustworthy. You're faithful. Lord, work in me that I can be reliable, trustworthy. That my word will be my bond. That I don't need to sign a contract. That I've given my word. And I know that that is true. And I'll keep it. That I won't be like so many people. We don't have anything in writing. That's too bad. You can't hold me in court. We don't have anything in writing. Nobody but you and I heard it. You ain't got no witnesses. Cop, I changed my mind. I'm not going to do that. You say, Lord, work in me, Lord. Your word is true, Lord God. Your nature is true. The foundation of your throne is truth. Lord, work in me. Work in me, Lord, that I don't exaggerate, Lord. That I don't color, Lord God. That I don't twist, Lord. That everything that comes out of my mouth is reliable, Lord. That people could depend on. My son is a ordained priest in a church. And he was graduating from the University of Cambridge. He was getting ready to get a job at a college. And at the last minute, the British Immigration Services decided that they wanted a letter from his authority in his church stating that he was in good standing. And they wanted it day after tomorrow in Edinburgh, Scotland. And here I'm in Salina, Kansas. And they wanted day after tomorrow. And so I called this authority, and through a set of circumstances, he was not able to sign the letter. And so he gave permission for them to stamp his name on it through the stamp they had they used in his absence. And the secretary initialed the stamp, and they sent the letter with the seal and everything. And that was not satisfactory. The immigration people called back, said they needed something else. And so I went to the chancellor of the diocese, the lawyer of the diocese, and I said, what can we do? This man 2,000 miles away? Have we got to have one flown in or what? So she wrote a letter to them. And she said, I can assure you, and she included a copy of this document that we sent, that this is a true, trustworthy, reliable document on which you can depend. And signed the name as Chancellor of the Diocese. And they accepted that. And that's the Word of God. It is a true, trustworthy, reliable document on which you can depend.
Amen.
This right here. The Bible. God. His Word. And say, Lord, make me, the words that come out of my mouth, true, reliable document on which people can depend. Not one that's colored by exaggeration. Not one that is twisted to give it in a certain way, so to give a certain implication, to tell it in such a way, put a spin on it like the evening news, like the commentator on the evening news puts his spin so he wants you to develop a certain attitude. Y'all know that the newscast does that?
Yes.
That they will spin it in such a way so that you will perform a certain opinion. Right now we're going through this terrible spin that they just keep beating the drum on this Iranian, on this Iraq thing.
Right.
And there's no indication from the government that we are planning to do anything other than thinking right now. But they are beating the drum because they don't have any news, they don't have anything, so they're just beating the drum and trying to form an opinion because they have decided what they think should be done. And they're trying to mold and raise public opinion. God bless them. They are not. That is not a true, reliable, trustworthy document on which you... The evening news is not a true, reliable document on which you can depend. That is truth.
Amen.
Okay. And that is God. And you need to pray that God will raise you up so that your words will be that way. To be renewed in His image. And it's something you do day by day, every day. Not once this week and once next week, but every day. If you want to change. If you want to change, you've got to press in You got to will and decide that you're going to do this. And say, God, give me the strength. I can't do it without you. But God is not going to do it for you. He will give you. It says that God will give you the desire to obey him and the power to bring it to pass. That's what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, I think it is. Maybe another verse. But it's to will to do his good pleasure. It's the way it stayed in the King James. The new Living Translation says it is God working in you to give you the desire to please him and the power to bring it to pass. That puts it in the vernacular. But you've got the will to do it. You've got the will to obey him. He gives you this. And you got to obey. And as you obey, his power will flow through the scriptures to change you. But he will work with you and through you. But you've got the will to do it. And be willing to pay the price. Don't think it doesn't have a price. Don't think that the enemy won't oppose you. Now, God forgives. And he's ready to pardon. He's righteous, loving, of great understanding. The New Testament in the Greek, goodness, loving kindness, truth. We'll cover those tomorrow. It's time to stop. And everybody stand up. And jump up and down a little bit, and let's get your blood circulating out of your feet and up back up to your brain. Praise your Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Oh, Jesus. 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 Praise you and bless you, Lord. Are you, Lord? In the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. I'm going to cast out the demon of laziness. That's called slothfulness. That's that demon that makes you want to go sit down in front of the television set and vegetate. That's that demon when you get ready to read the Word of God, makes you feel tired and sleepy. That's the demon. Slothfulness, laziness. It's a demon. It's sin. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Say, dear Lord, I love you. Lord, I want to be free to worship you. Be molded into your image. That the character of God and the glory of God will radiate out of me. And when people see me, they'll see Jesus, the goodness of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, renew me, touch me, fulfill me. Oh, Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh. Died on the cross for my sin. Ascended into heaven. Was raised from the dead. According to the scriptures. In the way the scriptures had prophesied. For my justification. Was ascended into heaven. Sits on the right hand of the Father. To make intercession for me. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I am a member of the family of God. I'm not of this world. I'm in this world as an ambassador of the Most High God. And as an ambassador, I have the right and privilege to call upon the armed forces of the kingdom of God to defend me. Lord Jesus, I love you. You are the commander of the host of the army of God. You're my big brother. Send your angels to set me free. Bind up all these demons and haul them off in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I break the curses that have come down through the family line. The curse of laziness, slothfulness, gluttony, stubbornness, drunkenness, pride, and all other sins. Lord Jesus, set me free. I bind these things. I break the curses. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, praise you, Lord Jesus. Everybody. Spirits of laziness. Spirits of slothfulness. Spirits of gluttony. Spirits of pride. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. I bind you. And I cast you out. For it is written, Joel 2:32. Anyone calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Leave me now. In Jesus' name. Everybody sit down now. Put both feet on the floor. Hands in your lap. Don't cross them. In the name of Jesus, I bind all the spirits of slothfulness and laziness and sleepiness and stupor in the name of Jesus. You spirit of stupor and slumber in the name of Jesus. You deaf and dumb demon named stupor. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people now. All the stupor spirits, all the deaf and dumb spirits, all the spirits of stupor and sleepiness, I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave God's people. Just come on out now. Don't you dare God's people. I bind you and I break your power and I say, be gone. All spirits of laziness and slothfulness and gluttony, I bind you. All spirits of pride and stubbornness, I bind you. All you Amorite devils, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, all gluttony, all bondage to gluttony, all bondage to stubbornness, all bondage to deception. I break your power and I command you to leave God's people now in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all the Amorites and all the Hittite spirits. I speak against the spirits of fear. Fear of not being good enough in the name of Jesus. Fear of being who you are in Jesus Christ. Fear of being a failure in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out, fear of being laughed at. Come out, fear of different efforts. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out, come out. I bind all the Hittite spirits now. Fear, fear, fear. Anxiety in the heart brings depression. Depression, come out in the name of Jesus. Heart trouble, come out. Come out. High blood pressure, come out. High blood pressure and asthma, which comes from fear and anxiety, I break your power in Jesus' name. You leave God's people. Leave. All spirits of the ulcers and the ulcerative colitis and ulcers and mucoid colitis and Crohn's disease, it comes from fear. Fear of not being good enough. Self-hatred, which comes from fear of not being good enough and wanting to be somebody else. I bind you and I break your power. You turn God's people loose. I break those curses. I break every curse that's spoken against the people in this room in the name of Jesus. I break the curses of divination and witchcraft and sorcery in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of perfectionism in the name of Jesus. I break the curses in the name of Jesus. I break all the curses of vanity and perverseness. I come against the perverse spirit in the name of Jesus. Spirit of perversion in Jesus' name. And all the spirits of porneo, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I speak healing and restitution to the people of God. Lord, just let your spirits come down now. I loose the ministering spirits now. Loose down the ministering spirits to come. the war angels, the attack angels to come. I come against Leviathan, the prince of pride. I come against the Leviathan, the prince of pride. You said your scales are so tight that nobody can shoot an arrow in you, that nobody can put a hook in your nose. But I tell you that the Holy Ghost can put a hook in your nose, Leviathan. And I say, and we send the angels with the Holy Ghost hook, and we hook in your nose, Leviathan, and we pull you out, you prince of pride. We pull you out, you Hittite devil. And we command you to turn loose their spinal cords and turn loose their mind. Turn loose their stomach and their colon. Turn loose their stiff neck in the name of Jesus Christ. As you come out, Leviathan, in Jesus' name, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name, and I pull you out in Jesus' name. Every one of you, come out of there. All of Leviathan. You Leviathan spirits, I break your power. You will leave now in the name of Jesus. You will not stay in Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone now. I come against all spirits of bondage, bondage to witchcraft, bondage to fear, bondage to food, bondage to cigarettes, bondage to drugs, bondage to sorcery. Come on out. In the name of Jesus Christ, all bondage, bondage again to fear. I break your power. Fear of death, I break your power. Come on out. Out, out, all of you. Come out, 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 out. You can't stay. You can't stay there. You know that. You can't stay. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Push them out, people. Set your minds against it. Set your minds against them. Don't speak. Just set your minds and will to push those things out of you. You come out of me in the name of Jesus Christ. And you push it out with your will. In the name of Jesus. The battle of mind is the battleground. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, push in Jesus' name. Lord, give them the power now. Just touch them and give them the power to push this out in Jesus' name. Push out Leviathan, the prince of pride, the Amorite devils. Push out the stubbornness in the name of Jesus. Push out that spirit of stubbornness, that spirit of slothfulness, that spirit of stupor, that deaf and dumb spirit. Come on out of there, that deaf and dumb spirit that rules by fear. Come on out. Won't let people hear the Word of God. Won't let people see the Word of God. Won't let people understand the Word of God. Come out. I speak to the spirit of epilepsy in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of dyslexia in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of learning disabilities and dyslexia. I bind you. I speak to ADD in the name of Jesus. All the deaf and dumb demons. I break their power. They've come down through the family line, through the curse. I break the curse in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of the Mormon Church. I break the curse of the Masonic Lodge and the Eastern Star and all other Luciferian organizations. I bind them and I break their power. You shall not. You shall not stay. You shall come out. You cannot keep them from learning in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of amnesia. All spirits of amnesia, I bind you. You cannot stay. These people want to remember. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to be gone. Go, all of you. Go in Jesus' name. All the epilepsy now. All the learning disabilities. Come on out. All the tics. In the name of Jesus Christ. All the ticks, all the jerks, come out in the name of Jesus. Speak healing. Speak to brain damage now from encephalitis. I speak to brain damage from birth defects. I speak to birth defects. I speak to brain damage. I speak to brain hemorrhage in the name of Jesus. Encephalomalacia, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break your power and I speak healing to God's children. I come against bronchopulmonary dysplasia in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak to you, and I say you line up with the Word of God. God says these children have been healed. To such as this belongs to the kingdom of God. This is God's child. You cannot have it. I break your power in Jesus' name, and I speak healing to these children in the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord. The crown of their head to the soles of their feet, touch them. Come out in Jesus' name. All of you, in Jesus' name. I speak to diabetes and arthritis and bitterness, and I command you to be gone. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. I speak to gingivitis and root canals. In the name of Jesus and polyps. I curse the polyps and command them to dry up, wither and die. All the polyps. Polyps in the colon, polyps in the intestine, polyps in the nose. Wither and die. Dry up. Wither and die in Jesus' name. All of you. Go. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus Christ, you deaf and dumb spirit. Come out. Find you. Break your power. All of you. Every bit of you come out. Pierce of stupor. Stupor. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of stupor, come on out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. All the spirits of stupor, come out. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we praise you. We bless you. We glorify you, Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for your great glory. Let your healing angels come down now, Lord. We break all the ungodly soul ties to the past, Lord God. All the ungodly soul ties. I call back their soul, Lord God, all the soul that was stolen in the name of Jesus. Restore the soul, Lord God. Restore the intellect in the name of Jesus. I break the curses that said this child is retarded. I break the curse over you that said you were retarded. I speak restoration to the intellect in the name of Jesus Christ. The intellect. Heal the heart, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Heal the heart. Pour your spirit out, Lord God. All of it, Lord God. Pour out your spirit. The healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to come down. We thank you for it, Lord. Praise your name, God. Let your spirit come down. Fill your people now, Lord God. Fill your people, Lord. Fill your people, Lord. Let your anointing flow down over your people, Lord. Let your anointing flow down now, Lord God. The anointing of your love. Let the love of the Father flow through them now. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Let the love of the Father flow down. Flow, River. Great and mighty love. Oh, God. Let them get into the river, Lord. Into the river, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. The anointing will rot and destroy the yoke. Let your anointing come down now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. More of your anointing, Lord. Just touch your people from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Let your anointing just flow into your people. Everybody raise your hands. Let the anointing flow into you now. Let your anointing come down on your people, Lord. Lord, I just ask to touch everyone here, Lord. Let the anointing fill them, Lord. Fill them, Lord God. Just fill them. Fill every crack and every crevice, Lord. And drive out everything that's not of you, Lord God. Loose the hornets from heaven now, Lord. Let your hornets come down and drive them out, Lord God. Little by little. Thank you and we praise you and bless you and glorify you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless the food. Bless those that prepared it, Lord, and those that are going to eat it. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we bless you for it, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.